Job. Job. Chapter 2. In the second chapter of the book of Job, I'll start in verse 1. It says again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand, Hal, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore pulls from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. And then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips? That is reading the second chapter of Job, verses 1 through 10, that which the Lord has impressed upon my heart. The name Job is one that has become associated with suffering. Even in secular society, his name is synonymous with one who suffers or has suffered greatly. Now, we often think of the book of Job and think of the theme of the book as asking the question, why do the righteous suffer? Or why does God allow suffering? But I think another theme of the book could be why do people serve the Lord? And I get that because you see the question that Satan asked in chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, when he said those verses, then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." His idea was this, that the reason that Job is serving the Lord was because God had blessed him. And Satan was saying, "God, if you would take away the blessings that you've given to Job, then Job would quit serving you." So the question could be raised, why do people serve the Lord? Well, that is something that we all could still consider in our lives today. Why do we serve the Lord? I mean, think about it. Why do we do the things that we do? Why do we come to church? Why do we do for Him the things that we do? I realize today that God does bless us for obedience. I believe that God does bless us when we tithe. I do believe that God blesses our faithfulness to Him. But what if He didn't? What if God did bless us when we tithe? I've raised the question today. If you determined in your heart that I'm going to tithe like God says in His Word that I am supposed to tithe, but then all of a sudden you lost your job, would you still tithe and give to God like you ought to? If you determine in your heart that you're going to be faithful to the house of God, like God wants you to be faithful, but then all of a sudden you lost your health and you weren't able to be here like you really desired to be, would you still in your heart be faithful to the things of God in your life? You see, I just wonder today, why do we still serve the Lord? Do we only serve Him because what He does for us? Or do we truly serve Him because we love Him? And because we truly honor Him in our life? I've said all that to say this today. When Satan came back to to the Lord the second time, and he asked the Lord about Job, the Lord basically says the same thing about Job and Satan. He says in verse 3, in chapter 2, he says, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" But then God adds another thought. God says, "And still he holdeth fast his integrity." God says, even after he has lost all that he has lost, he still holdeth fast his integrity. That's what catches my intentions and my thoughts today. That's really what gets a hold of my heart today. That word integrity, it means sincerity. It means an unwavering devotion to God. It's the idea that even though Job is under grievous trials, that Job is unwavering in his devotion to God. So I ask the question today, would we still do that? So I want to preach this morning on this thought of staying right when everything else is going wrong. Staying right when everything else is going wrong. I want to ask us three questions today, and I'll be finished. So I want to look at this in Job's life and ask myself three questions today. First of all, would you stay right even in unexpected trials? I look back in chapter 1, and Job's life seems like a storybook life. I look at chapter 1 and a man that has everything that seems to be going his way. I see a man that has, it looks like, everything happening his way. Job, it tells us, is the greatest man in all the East. Job has an abundance of cattle. Job is a man that has all kinds of sheep. Job has camels. He has servants. God has blessed this man with abundance. Job has seven sons and three daughters. God has given him great wealth. God has given him seems like all that he could desire. Job was a man that seemed to have it all. Put a man on top of that knew how to handle it. The Bible tells us that what God said about this man was that he was a perfect man. That word perfect tells us that he was a complete man. Do you know what that means? It means he was a man that knew how to handle his wealth. He knew how to handle his servants. He knew how to handle his wisdom that God had given him. He knew how to balance all of that. There are people that wealth goes to their head. There are people that possessions sway their thinking. But not Job. Job knew how to handle all that. God said he's a perfect man. But God said he's an upright man. That means he's honest. Somebody said he's a straight arrow. He's an honest man. But God says he fears God. He's a righteous man. He escheweth evil. He hates ungodly things. Here is a righteous man. He has raised his family right. As a matter of fact, as they have grown, he has offered sacrifice for them in case they've sinned and cursed God. But there came a day that his world turned upside down. There came a day that he lost everything. There came a day, suddenly a messenger burst into his house. Says, Job, we were out there and the Sabaeans came. Man, you've lost it. While he's speaking, another comes. Says, this has happened. Another, while he's speaking, says this has happened. Finally, one comes. Says Job, a great wind blew on the four corners of the house where your sons and daughters were, and it fell, and they're all dead. I one day wanted to find out just how quickly all of that happened. Because it said one came and while he spoke another. So I read that just at a normal reading speed. Took me 70 seconds to read that. In just about a minute's time, Job got word that he lost it all. I can't imagine, but Job lost everything. Then in chapter 2, it tells us that Satan came again, went before God, and I read to you a little bit of what he said. But Satan says to God, said, "Well, but you still give him his health." He said, "A man could lose all of his possessions, but you let a man lose his health, and he'll curse you." God said, "You can take his health, but you can't take his life." And Job lost his health. Bible says he ends up sitting in the ash heap. Do you know what the ash heap was? That sounds kind of, you know, pretty good. Don't sound terrible. The ash heap was the city dump where the filth. That was just a nice way of saying where the sanitation dump was. That's where Job ended up sitting. I want to tell you, explained sufferings are hard enough. But when they're unexplained, when you don't know, Job didn't know why. Job didn't understand what it was all about. When you don't have rhyme or reason why things happen in your life, that's even harder. Job lost everything. But I'll ask the question today. Would you stay right even in a time of unexpected trials coming your way? You see, even when Job lost it all, he bowed before the Lord and said, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I want to tell you, that searches your heart today. Searches my heart. Would you stay right? God looked at Job, or looked at Satan after Job had lost those things, and said he still retaineth his integrity. He still retaineth it. Even after losing that, he still retaineth his integrity. So I think today, when things seem to fall apart, when unexplained sickness comes, when your world turns upside down, when suddenly everything in your world gets all messed up, will you stay right? Even when unexpected trials come your way. But secondly, I want to ask the question, would you stay right even if it means you have to stand alone? Even if it would mean you had to stand alone. You see, after all these things have happened in Job's life, he's lost his finances, he's lost his children, he's lost his cattle, he's lost his servants, his health is gone, and then suddenly and verse 9 of chapter number 2. It says, "Then said his wife unto him, Doest thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." I know that Job's wife has been given a raw deal over the years. I know a lot of people have preached a lot of hard things against Job's wife. But I'll be honest with you. She lost her 10 children just like Job did. She lost her finances just like Job did. She lost her wealth and possessions just like Job did. She saw her husband in his worst situation, sitting in filth, having lost his health. And when she says what she says, Job's response, it has the hint that he can't really believe she says what she says. It's like he can't believe the words come out of her mouth, that she is talking like a foolish woman. I can't believe you're saying that. Seems to be the idea. It's though she is saying, "Job, you've hit the bottom. Why don't you just curse God and die? Curse God and die." Can I just pause a minute and say this? In times of sickness, husbands and wives need each other. In times of trouble, husbands and wives need each other. Through my years of pastoring, I have tried to encourage husbands and wives when they're going through difficult times to be there for each other. Because I've seen it so many times, when the wife is on the bottom, the husband's the one that lifts her up. And I've seen it when the husband's on the bottom, it's the wife at times that lifts him up. But it seems like when Job needed somebody, she says, "Just curse God and die." So Job didn't have that. But then his friends come, and for 7 days they just sit and look at him. They couldn't get over what he was going through. But then when they did speak, all they could do was try to figure out where he had sinned. That somewhere, something was wrong in his life. Job finally called them miserable comforters. Miserable comforters. Job ended up dealing with it by himself. I asked the question today, would you really stay right if it means you had to stand alone? If family turned away from you, if friends didn't understand you, would you really stay right? I remember a time years ago, before I came back here, I remember a time in my life that something had happened and that death connected with our family. Something had happened. And I really needed somebody to come alongside to comfort and help me. And the phone calls never came. And nobody come by to say, can we do anything? And I waited. You say, preacher, did it hurt? It did. But what'd you do? I trusted the Lord and went on. I didn't harbor ill feelings, but it hurt. I want to tell you, sometimes it hurts when you have to stand alone. When you have to stand alone. But would you stay right? Job stayed right even when it meant he had to stand alone. I thank God. I want to say this. I'm going to move on, because time's getting away. I thank God for single parents who stay right when they have to stand alone. I thank God for single parents that end up in tough situations, raising a family, when they have to stand alone. That isn't easy. That isn't easy. But I thank God for them when they stay right. But would you stay right if you had to stand alone? Job did. Job did at that time. And lastly, I've got to move on. Time's gone. Would you stay right even if God is silent? I think that's the hardest one of all. There's a lot of talking that went on in the book of Job. There's a lot of words said between Job and his friends. But throughout the majority of the book, the one that Job wanted to hear from was God, and he wasn't hearing from God. Job said in chapter 23, in verse 3, he said, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Job said, I'd love to have an audience with God. I'd love to be able to sit and talk to him. I'd love for God to talk to me. I want to tell you, whether we admit it or not, in times of trial, the one thing we'd love to have an answer for is, God, why? There are times we'll never say it out loud. There are times we'll never admit it. But we sure would like to be able to talk to God and get a better understanding of, God, why? Why do we have to go through this? Why do we have to deal with this? Why did I have to face this? Why did I have to be the one to go through this in my life? I just finished reading the book, Through Gates of Splendor. It is the biography about the life of the missionary Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot and four of his missionary friends were trying to reach the Aka Indians in Ecuador in 19. 56. And they thought they were making headway to reach them. But those missionaries were killed by the Aka Indians in 1956. And his wife, his widow, Elizabeth Elliot, wrote the book. 30 years later, in 1986, she gave a testimony, and she made the statement in her testimony. She said, "I don't know any better now than I did 30 years ago why God chose to work that way." She said, "It's been 30 years since God allowed that to happen to my husband and his four friends. And I don't know any better now than I knew then." I want to tell you, there are some things that God just doesn't reveal to us in this life. There are some things that God just has chosen not to tell us here. Finally, late in the book of Job, chapter 38, God finally speaks to Job. And he asked Job 70 questions at the end of the book. But he doesn't ever tell him why. But what he says to Job, he tells him about creation. He tells him about creating stars and the moon and the sun. He tells him about creating fish and taking care of the creatures of the earth. He tells him about all of that. But he doesn't ever tell him why. You may ask and say, why was he telling Job all of that? Because finally he does ask Job this. He says, "Job, where were you when I did all of that?" The idea seemed to be this: Job, do you think you could handle things any better than I can? You see, what he wanted Job to understand was this: Job, I'm God, and I'm in control of all things. And I'll do things according to my will. And you just have to trust me. The one thing that happens at the very end is it says that God blessed Job. And he blessed him double. More than what he had. Twice as much than what he had. And he gave him 7 more sons and 3 more daughters at the end of the book. You say, "Preacher, what do you say?" God will reward our faithfulness to Him. So my challenge is this: stay right, and God will reward your faithfulness. Stay right even when you don't understand. Stay right even when things get all messed up in your life. Stay right even if you have to stand home. Stay right even if God doesn't answer your questions. Because in the end, He will reward your faithfulness to Him. There may be somebody here today that the devil is telling you, give up. There's no use in staying right. God's failed you. God has let you down. That God isn't helping you. God's not going to answer your questions. That God has shortchanged you somewhere along the way. But I want to tell you, stay right with Him. Because in the end, He will reward your faithfulness. So that's what God's put on my heart. That I felt like I ought to give you. I'd like for them to come to the piano, to the organ. There may be somebody today that there's a need in your heart. Maybe today that you're discouraged in heart. Maybe you just need to come and say, Lord, would you help me to stay right? Help me to retain my integrity through it all. Not give up, but just stay true to you till it's all over and done. While we stand, while they play, there's a need. Would you come? Would you come?